Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate. Well, let me introduce you to a new friend. Douglas Eza is here, ladies and gentlemen. Douglas is a financial expert. He helps people just like you and me with their financial planning, with financial making the right financial planning and resources available to them. His company is called Largo Financial Services. He's licensed in the insurance and the securities industries. He's the author of a new book called Creating Generational Wealth. Not just plain old vanilla wealth, but generational wealth is all about what the super wealthy know that you need to know. Douglas Eza, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. It's good to have you here. And also, I think it's appropriate to tell my audience that you were born and you grew up in Nigeria, and you came here in your 20s, and you've since become a naturalized citizen. But you were born in another country, and now you're here. What do you think about all that? What are your thoughts about becoming an American?
Man, that was the best decision ever. You know, coming from growing up in Nigeria, you know, a young kid, you know, always watched MTV and see all the music videos and all the great things going on in America. I said, at 18 years old, I said to my dad, you know, I got to travel, man. So coming to America, man, it's been awesome, you know, because there's so much opportunity here for foreigners and even people that live here, you know, people that are born here.
Right.
I mean, we take America for granted, and you got to understand that this is the best country in the world to be in. Every country, if they could come in here, they will.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Doug, because it's this, you know, sometimes we do take for granted. We get down in the mouth about different things. We don't like this thing. We don't like that thing. We don't realize that our bad is really good in a lot of places in the world, isn't it?
Big time. Yeah, I mean, this is the only country you could get on TV and say stuff about the president or any political person,
right,
and still be walking
right
around.
Yeah.
Try that in Africa and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, Doug, what do the wealthy know that we don't know?
Man, you know, one thing that with the wealthy folks, man, because, you know, being from Nigeria, coming to America, I realized, you know, people keep talking about old money. I'm like, you know, we have a lot of wealthy people in Nigeria, but when they die, their money dies with them. So coming here and looking at the wealthy families, like the, you know, Johnson & Johnson, the Rockefellers, all these, you know, families that we keep hearing their names.
Right.
I'm like, how can one man keep, you know, this money in the family for generation to generation? Because the old money I know runs out. So I started researching these wealthy people and realized, you know what, the first thing that they do is they treat their family like a business.
Yeah.
You know, because we as business owners, and, you know, you're a small business advocate, I mean, whenever somebody starts a new business, the first thing they do is they start looking for the right advisor, the right CPA to work with and all those things. But then when it comes to our family, we don't do that. We go look for the person that's going to get us the best tax return, and then they get us that best tax return. The next thing we know, we're getting audited, and the IRS is in your pocket, you know. So
right.
I say, you know, act like a treat your father like a business, just like the wealthy do, because the wealthy, they talk about how can we keep the family wealth growing from one generation to the other. So they employ the husband, you know, is the president of the family.
Right.
The wife is the vice president, and the children are the employees.
Sometimes it's reversed. I've seen it both ways.
Yeah.
More and more, the wife is the president. More and more, as you know, Doug, more and more women are founding companies, right? And
I
know,
right.
I have a lot of friends who the husband is the is the vice president. So it works both ways. But go ahead.
You're on the right track.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when we look at it like that, then what we need to do as a family is say, okay, how can we put a family succession plan in place in case the president or the vice president dies or something happens, like sickness happens? What happens? Just like businesses talk about that. A business brings in income just like your family brings in income. A business brings in expenses, bills, just like your family brings in expenses and bills.
Right.
So the key is most businesses, they have succession plan. They hire the right advisors to help them. You know, that's something a family needs to do. You got to bring in the right financial advisors, the right CPA, the right attorneys to help you plan better for the future, just in case something happens.
Do most of the people you run into have trouble talking to their spouses, to their family about financial business?
Of course they do. That's why we, the middle income America today, are in the problem that they're in, because we never talk about money with each other. We only talk about money when there's a problem, when either somebody dies or somebody's laid up in the hospital sick, and that's when we start, you know, scrambling around to find out what are we going to do. Oh,
yeah.
We don't have this in place. We don't have that in place. That's when people start talking about money. So what I tell people, you need to start talking about money now, you know, and talk to your children about money, because kids are very smart. If you start teaching them from the get-go, man, the sky's the limit for them.
You know, one of the best lessons my dad ever taught me about money, and I was a blue collar family. I grew up in a blue collar family. My dad worked in a factory on the railroad, and we had a farm, and so we were pretty blue collar. But one of the best lessons he ever gave me in money was to say something very simple. And he didn't think he was giving me a lesson, but he was. He said, "We can't afford it." I'd say, "Can I have so-and-so? I'd like so-and-so. What about so-and-so?" Or I'd hear one of my siblings say that. He'd say, and he wasn't just turning us off. He meant it. He said,
yes.
we can't afford it. And that was a good lesson for me. What do you think?
I mean, it is great, because I have one of my great clients. She's a single mom, you know, raising a son, doing very well, you know, for herself, and, you know, registering a professor and all that good stuff. One thing that she shared with me one day, she said her son found a dollar bill at the house and said, "Mommy, I found some money." No, he said, she told him, "No, you didn't find no money. You found mommy's money." This is money.
Hey, the book is called Creating Generational Wealth. The author is Douglas Eza, E-Z-E is how you spell his last name. Douglas and I will be right back. We're going to talk some more about what do the wealthy know that you and I need to know. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.